We come to this very final aspect of the Christian armor. It is usually counted as the seventh part, seventh item of protection. But perhaps we need to rework our math a little bit, because I think that technically that this seventh item is really the means to put on all the other six, and that it is not certainly a tangible item as the others are. It's not like the sword and the helmet and the breastplate and so on, but rather it is the personal communion and communication with God. It is that link between our carnal nature and to be in touch with the Lord Himself. And just as any soldier on the field, communication is very important. What a boon and blessing to have a radio contact with your commander. And if you're in a bunker, the enemy's firing at you, and you need to get a message to your commander and to your leader for help and protection, what a boon and blessing that is. And certainly this seventh item, the item of all prayer, falls into that category. To put it another way, we cannot live the Christian life without the power of prayer. Our Lord Jesus did so. Even though he had infallible knowledge, he showed us by his perfect life that communion with his Father was ever important. He spent whole nights in prayer. When he chose the disciples, he preceded those decisions by special seasons of prayer. And so it teaches us that if we come to the great needs and decisions and tasks of life, that we need to commit them all to prayer. When we read of the early church, we find them much in prayer, not only in the upper room, waiting on the promise of the Father, but when the Holy Spirit was given and they were in the midst of their work and they were advancing the cause of the Lord in the city of Jerusalem and abroad, they had many, many prayer meetings. And the early church advanced by this weapon of prayer. Now, all other things may be known or known about, but it is the power of God in the believer's life that equips us for spiritual battle. Or if I may say that again. All these other items, we can study them, we can know what they are, we can even try to put them on, but without prayer, without being in touch with God, they are useless, because they're spiritual items. And through this series, I have sought to take every one of these from the practical realm of the real live soldier to the spiritual realm of you and I as believers in fellowship with God, walking in a world of danger. We could have all of these items of protection, but if we're not linked up with God, what good will they be? There are those who sit in libraries with all the great information of the gospel around them, but all they are is bookish and learned, but they may have no power. And that is often the case. And the Christian who trusts in his learning and in his expansive knowledge does not mean that he's out of danger. Temptation is all around. The devil is very active. And indeed, the greater our knowledge, perhaps the more avenues for the enemy to come and to confuse us and bring us down. It is unthinkable and indeed ridiculous that there are men with any semblance of Bible knowledge who oppose the whole matter of the church at prayer. And that is the case today. There are those who, out of default, just give up on the prayer meeting. give up on this weapon of prayer. There are others who are totally opposed to it. I don't believe in prayer meetings. Why should the people of God come together to open up their hearts and confess their needs? Anyone who reads their Bible at all would surely find over and over again the church at prayer. The strength, the invigorating energy that comes to the people of God by being much in prayer, both privately and corporately as the people of God. Now remember again that each item in the Christian armor identifies a particular aspect of the gospel. You have the breastplate of righteousness. We'll just speak of one just now. That breastplate of righteousness is, as we sung about here, I have a robe. A righteousness that I may put on that answers the accusation that I'm not worthy. And when Satan comes and tempts you and prods you, who do you think you are? You're not worthy. Then by prayer, we're to use this breastplate of righteousness. And we're to plead and pray and enter into an earnest plead with God that we stand upon that righteousness that is provided for us. And so the thing to focus upon here is that prayer is the way to put the armor on. It brings it now into a practical, real terms in our Christian's life. It's not enough just to know, well, this relates to this and this relates to that. We need to know now how to strap it on. How to put that helmet to protect our minds. How to get those shoes of the preparation of the gospel on our feet so that we are protected from those areas of attack. This is therefore very personal and very practical. Now to draw your attention to the three alls in this passage. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer. And then you have in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is a preacher's delight. 3 points, ready-made, right in the text. Three alls. All prayer, all perseverance, all saints. And we're to take this armor of God, and we're to put it on with prayer on these terms. All prayer, all perseverance, for all saints. The all prayer speaks to us of the types of prayer that we may use. It is the manner of prayer. And of course this could be a general prayer in every category. Now this is the new life of the Christian. The mark of the new convert. He's born a-praying. Just like a baby born into the world exercising its lungs. And you hear that first cry and the breathing is there and the crying is there. And the immediate power to breathe in the very atmosphere of the new world. That's what prayer is to the Christian. And it is a new delight. It is a new vista of heaven. Born in the soul, that there's a new world now. I've got communion with my Heavenly Father. I can remember this happening to me as a new Christian. I can remember those first desires to pray, those first prayer meetings, stumbling, stammering words, but I wanted to pray because faith opens up all the exciting possibilities. I have fellowship with the living God. Now just imagine, here are we, this small, puny little people, on this world that in the great universe of God is just a speck, and we're just like ants, and yet we can commune one to one with the living God. That is the great boon of being a child of God. We've got the spirit of adoption whereby we can pray. Then we come to supplication. Supplication is meant here. All prayer and supplication. Supplication here refers to the items of prayer, the list of items that we would bring unto God. The first mention of this word supplication, or its equivalent word in the original, is found in Luke 1:13. The gospel, the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard." What was he praying about? He was praying about his wife Elizabeth having a son. There was a specific item in the heart of Zacharias. He had a prayer request. And when he went to prayer, he knew what he was asking for. And he knew what he was calling upon God to do. And God says, "I have heard that prayer, that particular request." And so we find that our supplications are the very individual, specific requests that we bring unto God. It might be a burden of the heart. It may be a problem that you face. It may be a decision you must make. You need direction. You can bring that very specific matter unto the Lord in prayer. Now, in the context of this Christian armor, we are to pray over each item of the soldier's armor. Every one of them. That our loins be girt with truth. And that means that we're not hindered from running the race. People in those days wore long flowing gowns. And if you're going to run the race, the loins had to be girded up. That long flowing gown had to be rolled up, tucked under the belt, so that the athlete could run, or the soldier could be free to move in battle. That's the picture that is given us. Now, will you pray about that? That's something to pray about. You need your loins girt with truth. You need to be delivered from those stumbling blocks, those hindrances that hold you back in your Christian life. Take them to the Lord and pray about them. Specific items. Take them to the Lord. He'll hear that prayer. He'll hear of that item. Then the breastplate of righteousness. I've referred to it already. Do you feel unworthy? What the psychologists would call lack of self-esteem. Do you lack assurance? Do you say, "Well, who am I to speak in Jesus' name?" You have a robe of righteousness. You have a breastplate that you can put on, and your heart and vital organs may be protected. Do you pray about that? Just don't fall into a sulking, depressed mood and say, "Who am I?" You have this breastplate of the righteousness, the imputed, imparted righteousness of Christ to your account. And while it's true that you alone are unworthy, but you in Christ, with his righteousness, stand perfect before God. Pray about that. Enjoy the righteousness that the Lord has provided for you. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And we looked at that in turn and saw how the soldier's feet need to be well protected against all manner of traps and snares, and the soldier that's off his feet is really at a disadvantage. And so you need to pray that you be standing. This is all about standing and having done all to stand. Do you feel yourself slipping? Do you you feel unsure of the ground that you're upon, take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Just don't put a label on it and say, that's me forever. Get the victory. Find God's answer by praying that your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The peace we read of there in Philippians 4. Let these things be in you, and the God of peace shall be with you. Go to Philippians 4. Pray over it. Don't just sit back and say, well, that's the way I am. God has given you this armor. You've got now to pray it into your life. Put it on with prayer. And the helmet, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. All of these items that are vital to the Christian soldier. You've got to pray, Lord, give me power with the sword. If I was a soldier, I would train till I understood how that sword could best work for me. In fact, soldiers in those days would train until the sword was just like an extension to their body. It was second nature. Now you have to pray about the Word of God in your life. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, it could become your second nature. It should be an extension of how you think, how you decide, how you act. You've got to pray that God will fill your mind and give you deep, solid convictions on that Word. So all of these are spiritual items of armor, but you cannot enjoy them unless you're willing to pray them into your life. Now earlier on we sang the hymn, stand up for Jesus. Did you notice a stanza which went like this? Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Put on the gospel armor. If you're going to stand up for Jesus, you need the armor, but you have to put it on by prayer. Or another hymn that says, to keep your armor bright, attend with constant care, still walking in your captain's sight, and watching unto prayer. I just don't understand how anyone can think the Christian doesn't need to be much in prayer. How could that possibly be? Now there's another point here I want to mention under this first heading, all prayer. Praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit. We come here to the kernel of it, to the engine room of prayer. To be in the Spirit brings us to a higher level of communion with God than nature can ever attain. It is more than just saying a prayer. You know how weakly that sounds? Someone says, well, I was just saying a prayer. But where's the life in it? Where's the spirit in it? Where's the energy in it? Where's the conviction in it? It's like getting out a prayer book and just reading a prayer. It's dead, it's cold, it's lifeless. But praying in the Spirit is a whole heavenly enjoyment for the Christian. We know in Romans 8 that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He is the author of prayer, and He teaches us to pray according to the will of God. He gives us utterances and groanings that enable us to pray, praying in the Spirit. Martin Lloyd-Jones, and if you really want to study further in the Christian armor, I highly recommend his sermons on the Christian armor. But relating to this praying in the Spirit, he related an event when he was first preaching in Wales, which was a coastal mining setting of very uneducated converts. And God gave a breath of revival through Martin Lloyd-Jones' ministry at that time. There were many converts in that community. And he talked about this particular prayer meeting that went on for 3 hours. There were men who normally, they were not given to public speaking, very reticent about speaking at all in public. But in that particular prayer meeting, the Spirit of God came down. And those men were enervated. They were energized. And they prayed with eloquence. They were praying in the Spirit. And time didn't matter. They were in eternity. There was real communion with God. And every revival that you read about, every time of God's Spirit at work, you read of such accounts. Of men and women who are in the Spirit in prayer. And they forget about the world. Distractions are all gone. And there's a new world that is opened up to them as they enter into communion with God, praying in the Spirit. And that's what Paul is pleading for here. If you want to have power with God, if you want to have the energy of God and to use the Christian armor with effect, pray in the Spirit. How we need that in our own lives and in the life of the church. We need to pray that we be in the Spirit as we endeavor to commune with God in prayer. Mr. Spurgeon said that God the Holy Ghost writes our prayers, God the Son presents our prayers, and God the Father accepts our prayers. And when you're in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is prompting you and telling you how to pray, and you pray in the name of the Son, and the Father accepts it, how can that prayer fail? How can that prayer be wasted? It is this weapon of all prayer. Then we come to all perseverance, the second all. Praying with all perseverance. There is the triumph of prayer. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. It's to be on guard, watching. And you know, and I know, if there's any department of your Christian life that you need to guard and be on watch about, it's the whole matter of prayer. It's the first thing that slides away. It's the first shift in a backsliding soul. You lose out in prayer. And it's like the army without a sentinel. Without a guard, the enemy can attack at any time. And of course, the devil will oppose your praying more than anything else in your Christian life. He will oppose you in prayer, whether it's at home or in the church or to encourage others to pray. The devil will be mad as a hatter. When you go to your knees, because the devil trembles when saints are in prayer. He fears, because then men are linked up to God, and Satan hasn't a chance of opposing when men and women are in touch with God. We need to overcome the obstacles. You know, the prayer place is often despised because it is the place where we deal with the problems in our Christian life. It is the troubleshooting department of the Christian life. We go to prayer because we're burdened. We have needs. We have problems. And the Lord invites us that in time of trouble that we come to Him in prayer. And that's why in a prayer meeting in the church, you discover, here are people that on Sunday, they sit and they worship the Lord, and they sing. It seems they haven't got a care in the world. And you just come and listen to them pray on a Wednesday evening or at a prayer meeting, and you will soon find that their hearts could be breaking with the weightiest burden, and they're pouring out their heart to God, and you soon discover that's a person that is in real need. And of course, the more we grow in grace, the more we realize that need. But you know what's the worst thing? the worst thing is for especially a new Christian to think that once you become a Christian, there's never another problem. All your problems are over. Oh, how naive that is. How wrong it is. Because it's when you are a Christian and you bear the image of the Lord that you have a real enemy. The devil's not your enemy when you're his and you're doing his will. But the moment that you put on the armor of God and you want to do the will of God in your life, you're in for a battle. You're in for a battle. And you find that in your Christian life, that the life of the Christian is a constant battle. You're hardly over one thing till another thing is appearing. And it's an ongoing battle. You see, the devil never takes a rest. And he really attacks the image of Christ in this world. That's what it's all about. And the more that you seek to live godly, the more that you seek to show forth the image of the Lord in your life before the world, the greater the hatred of Satan against you. And so this matter of prayer becomes vital and so important. And you have to watch with all perseverance. And you may go to a prayer meeting for the first time and you may find it impossible. You may find that you go away discouraged. But that's where you need perseverance. That's where you need to be there again and again and again. That the Lord may visit you with His Spirit and give you the victory in the place of prayer. Never give up at the first attempt or at the first time of discouragement when you go to pray. Praying with all perseverance as a good soldier. Now we come to the third all. Praying for all saints. Here is the target of prayer. Here is the focus that we need as we come into God's presence. Specifically, you'll notice all saints. Now the world is a big needy place. But the first emphasis, the first focus of a praying people is the body of believers, the needs of the Lord's own children. And of course, there's never a stage in life that Christians do not need our prayers. Every believer needs our prayers. There's the new convert. The new convert needs the prayers of God's people. There are the lambs in the flock, new in the faith. So easily can they be tossed to and fro by new winds of doctrine. So easily can they be discouraged and set on the garbage site that their usefulness is lost. How we need to pray for that new believer. And when God is pleased to add to His church a new Christian, a new brother or sister in the faith, we must pray. We must pray for that particular soul. Here again is definite praying by name. By name. How important it is. We should also pray for the successful Christian. Because the Christian that has made the greatest advancement in the Christian life, and you might say would be ahead of the pack and away ahead in the race of the army, he's the first target of the devil. He's at most danger. Because the Christian that has grown and testified and witnessed and been used of God, the devil wants to bring that person down. And that person should be the focus of our praying and our pleading that God in grace will keep and protect. And the Lord will be very gracious to keep their testimony. Then also there is the tested and the burdened saint. There is that Christian that seems to have just met a brick wall. and they're burdened and cast down. It's a great test of their faith. And the Lord in His providence has allowed this test, this circumstance of deep affliction and trial. And we wonder, will the Christian stand the test? Or will they be like Lot, who because of the world, or the seed that was planted in the ground, and the cares of the world come around them, and they're carried off? That person needs our prayers. That person needs our earnest petitions and our earnest pleas. There's also the elderly Christian. Old age is not easy. And most people that are elderly say to me, Ian, don't grow old. And I answer, well, I can't help it. It's happening to me. And I'm soon going to be there. Very soon. But old age presents a whole set of issues. Energy goes. Clear thinking goes. Contentment can sometimes go with a fearful spirit that can come upon aged people. There is a loss of that youthful enjoyment and the optimistic outlook of life. It is a natural tendency in older age to have a more dismal view of life. And all of these can become snares to the Christian. And the elderly saint needs to put on the armor. Needs to put on every item of armor against these tendencies. And to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And so we need to pray for the elderly saint. And then there is the Lord's church. The whole witness of the Lord's church. What Canada needs is Christians living to the full. Now we are inclined to pray for Canada and think about the immigrants who come from other cultures and other religions. We're inclined to think of the unconverted that need the Lord. But firstly, according to this teaching of this passage here, this Christian armor, that our first focus is to pray for the saints. Because if you have ineffective Christians, worldly Christians, compromising Christians, defeated Christians all around you, how is the church going to advance? How is the church going to be a witness and the power of God in the nation? The first need is for God's people to be in blessing, to be on fire for the Lord. Now let's be honest with ourselves. Is that how we pray? Are we praying for this country on these terms? Lord, set your people on fire. Make them living witnesses in this country. And maybe we need to come to our own local congregation. It's very easy to have a critical thought of another brother or sister. It'd be very easy to say, boy, that's a poor example of Christianity. But what about praying for that person? You see a weakness, you see a need, you see a failure. Let's pray that God will come and visit that believer with power and with deep conviction of His Word. That's the teaching of this passage. We need to pray that God will make that armor very effective in that believer's life. This church needs your prayers. Every Christian in this church needs your prayers. If this congregation loses out, you lose out too. If I lose out with God, you lose out too. When one falls, just as in an army, when the army is weakened, the battle is uncertain and your life is threatened. That's the issues that we face here. And then, of course, there are those believers that are sick. They have a bodily affliction. It's a time of nurture and care. required by the church. And we need to be praying much for the sick. That's a ministry that is vital. And of course the Bible teaches us to pray one for another. That the elders of the church pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. These are biblical exhortations. We need to pray for the sick in our midst. And then you'll notice that we're to pray for the preacher in verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Praying for all saints and the preacher. The preacher needs your prayers. How can we come to the house of God seeking a blessing if you don't pray for the messenger? If you don't pray for the vessel by which that word will be preached? I conclude with this. The Christian should work as if all depended on him. But we must pray that all depends on God. Taking this Christian armor, we pray. And when you pray, you don't sit down as a soldier and say, well, I don't need to go into the battle now. Oh, yes, you do. Tomorrow morning's coming, and you're going to face the world, and you're going to be asked to stand up for Jesus, and you must do it with all your might, but you must put on the armor with all prayer, with all prayer, knowing that it really depends on God. It really depends on God and His grace and His power and His provision. So I pray that we'll become good soldiers, strong in the Lord and the power of His might, wrestling against not flesh and blood, but against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and standing in the evil day. May the Lord enable us by His power.